All right, let's pray the chaplet. Let's pray, pray, pray. And this is, put everything else aside. Let's pray for our country. You know, let's just pray for this craziness that's going on, for this diabolic disorientation, for this attack on family and on gender and on life and on the church, right? Satan hates you. You know, you're his enemy. He is your enemy. And I'll do everything to corrupt not only you and those you love. So let's just pray for protection as well. We'll trust ourselves to the precious blood of the Lord, and we'll pray the chaplet. Hey, I want to send a shout out to Timory. I want to pray for her during the chaplet today as well. I bumped into her. Well, we were at an event together in Minnesota a couple weeks ago, and she had asked me to pray for a particular intention she had. And she just sent me a text and said, "Hey, Drew, wanted to say thank you for all your prayers." I'm going to keep it confidential because I don't know if she wants it said publicly. But her prayer was answered, and I know it's going to be a blessing to her and to her family. So, Timory, we're so happy for you, and I'm so glad God heard those prayers. I knew he would, and that just came through. So grateful that you know, she let me know. I also want to send a prayer out to Brent and Megan Lovett. They were two pilgrims on a trip with me not too long ago. And Brent, I just want to say thank you. I know it was great traveling with you, and I told you I'd offer you up for prayers as well. And then one final, Kate Burke, who's a big supporter of this apostolate. She came to mind today. Kay, we're praying for you, for your health, and thanksgiving for all that you do. And one final personal intention here, a friend of mine reached out to me this morning, and Jenny, I got your text. She said, "Hey, Drew, a big prayer request for today's chapel. Could you lift up my friend Kelly, who's very sick with a new diagnosis of Wegener's or GPA, a very rare autoimmune disorder that has attacked her upper respiratory system, her lungs, and now is attacking her kidneys. She's always been the healthiest person I know, and she is one of the most faithful people I know. She's at the University of Minnesota Hospital, and she and her medical staff, well, they need the prayers. And I want to pray for anyone who right now is dealing with autoimmune problems, anyone who's battling with lupus, anybody with RA. I want to pray for those who are in critical conditions like this soul. Jenny, I want to pray for you. And, of course, I want to pray for you who are listening right now, wherever you might be. If you want to join us, of course, Father Robert Altier is going to be joining me today. And he'll be praying the chaplet. It's really an honor to have him because it's been a long time since I've had the chance to speak with Father Altier on the air. He came out with a new book. It's called God's Plan for Your Marriage. And we'll talk about that coming up. But you know, I thought it would be really nice to have him pray the chaplet with us. And he joins me right now. Father, thank you for being here. It's a delight to have you back. Good afternoon.
Drew, thank you. It's great to be back on with you. And what an honor to be able to pray the chaplet with you.
Is there anything you want to pray for, Father? Anything you want to lift up?
Well, I think just in light of everything's going on, we pray for peace and especially for families, yeah. For marriages and families right now. That's where the attack is being leveled, and that's where we want to make sure we bring that to our blessed Lord for his mercy.
Yeah, well, thank you for doing that. You know, we just got done talking about gender identity, a whole lot of other things, life. I mean, we know that Sister Lucia de Santos, in that very famous interview with, I think it was Cardinal Caffaro at the time, said something that was very haunting. She said that the decisive battle between the kingdom of God and that of Satan will be over marriage and family. And boy, do we see that battle raging right now. A little bit later, we can talk about that. We can talk about the times we live in and whether or not, you know, Christ is going to come. Well, there's a lot to take a look at, but we need to fortify our marriages, and we'll get into God's plan for your marriage coming up. So let's really dedicate in a special way this chaplet also to marriage and to family and to life. And we'll ask God to protect all those that we love. So we'll pray the chaplet coming up. Let me just share a very quick intention, if I could. This person says, "My brother was hit, was the victim of a hit and run in Montana. They're asking prayers for a miracle. He has had major head trauma. Doctors are saying that he probably will not react." This person says, "I believe in God, and I know God has the last word. So the defendants still have not been arrested and are free, living their lives. Our family lives in California and have been traveling to Montana to be with him. Would you please pray for my brother?" We certainly will. I mean, you never know when tragedy strikes. It's often very, very difficult. And in these times, we trust, and we need to pray all the more. Another person wrote to me, and they just said this. They said, hey, I just want to express my appreciation to you for sharing the Divine Mercy Chaplet and its power. My daughter has a good friend who was diagnosed with brain cancer and has just received a very hard diagnosis. And we're trusting and praying for her healing. One other person says, I called in for prayers for my niece, for my niece's son, who had a very scary procedure. And we prayed the chaplet, and we asked all the prayer warriors to join us in that hour. I called in about a month ago just to let you know that he was having a fever and was sick. When we got done praying the chaplet, he completely recovered. Today he's out of the hospital and doing well. Wanted to say thanks to everyone who joined us in those prayers. So, all right, let's pray for each other now. We'll do it in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us, I trust in you. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
All right. Well, let's take our first call this afternoon. We'll go to Lupe, who's been waiting for quite a while. She's listening to us in San Jose, California. Hi, Lupe.
Hello, Drew. Hello, Father.
Hey.
Hi, Lupe.
I'm lifting up. Calling to lift up my sister-in-law, who just found out that she had cancer, and she had operation, and they had to stop to take the cancer out because it was going to affect her voice box, and they were going to have to, it spread further than what they thought. So I wanted to lift her up for cancer and all the persons having cancer.
All right, we'll lift her up right now. Lupe, thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. And Lord, I give you anyone right now who's got cancer, anyone who is struggling, anyone who has loved ones, who they carry their own cross when they see their loved ones in this fight. So I pray today for extraordinary healing, for, Lord, your touch and for your blessing on those who are now crying out to you. But I pray that you vanquish these cancerous cells and allow many answered prayers. We pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. We'll take our next call. This comes from Maureen. She's praying with us in the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia. Hi, Maureen. Good afternoon.
Hi. Good. I'll be brief. I'm on a trolley.
Okay.
So I'm calling to have a prayer for healing my family. My family does not bother with me spiritually. I'm also calling for, I get attacked with anger thoughts all the time. I'm sitting, you know, at my desk, and all of a sudden I just get bombarded with thoughts. I've only tried prayer to try to relieve it. And then the only other thing that I'm asking for is I need a really good job that I really like and that I can have really good living.
Okay. Maureen, I'll tell you, your signal's really bad, but I think I got those three intentions. So feel free to call back again another day. But first, the last intention was she really needed a job. She's really praying for that in a big way. She was also praying for the healing of relationships, right? And for anger as well. I think those were the three key points. But, you know, when there's division in the family, when there's division amongst one another, when you're dealing with anger, you know, I think this is such a powerful prayer for it. And I often quote Diary Entry 1541, where the Lord says, it pleases me to grant everything you ask of me in this chaplet, if it's compatible with my will. He says it again in Diary Entry 1731. He says it multiple times to St. Faustina. It pleases me. You can obtain through the chaplet everything you ask if it is compatible with my will. And I believe the Lord wants you free from anger. You know, I believe that's compatible with his will. I believe the Lord will hear this prayer, Maureen. I believe the Lord wants, wherever there's division amongst family members or friends, he wants unity. And I believe that this prayer is very effective in healing those wounds, building new relationships, building bridges, and allowing new beginnings. So I'm going to pray for you for that. Lord, I pray for anyone looking for work. The economy's tough. I pray for those underemployed, those unemployed, those who just are now drowning in debt. They think, I'll never get out of this. And it can be quite depressing. I ask for our economy at large, and I just submit all these intentions to you as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Maggie is monitoring our Twitter intentions. I know if you can't get through on the phone lines, they do fill up kind of quickly. At Drew Mariani Show. That's the Twitter page that we use for the show, and you can submit your intentions there. Maggie will bring them to me. You can also follow me at Drew Mariani. I'm going to be trying to work on my social media a little bit better in the future, but get on board, follow us, like us on our social media accounts, and send me those answered prayers as God works this miracle in your life. Just send me an email, drew@relevantradio.com, and in the byline, put answered prayer, praise report, however you want to flag it for me so I can see that. I always love sharing those. Maggie, what's coming in?
Well, Drew, just to start off, since Father's with us for our next segment about marriage, yeah. I just want to pray for the planning of my own wedding with Joe in Chicago. I'm trying not to have too much of a headache and not break the bank and still have joy about what we're doing.
Amen.
Juanita is writing in asking for prayers that in California, the defeat of Proposition 1 would happen this November. Marie's asking for prayers for Leslie, who has cancer, and prayers for 3-month-old Gianna, who is not able to hold down her mom's milk. The parents refused having an abortion when problems were found in the womb. Annalisa is asking for a miracle for her daughter, Ariana, who suffers from depression. Adriana is asking for prayers for all the sick children, especially for baby Jude, baby Enzo, and baby Franco. Jean's asking for prayers for in Thanksgiving on behalf of her daughter. They lost a baby a year ago, and it looks like she's pregnant again now. So they're really thankful for that. And Patricia is also praying in Thanksgiving for family members that are starting to come back to the faith. A cohabitating nephew and his girlfriend are planning to get married.
Wow.
And another one is joining RCIA and becoming Catholic.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, we'll pray for all those intentions, and we'll add Jessica from Santa Clara to the mix. Jessica, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I would like to pray for a miracle for my daughter, who's battling marijuana addiction and depression, anxiety. And I would like to also pray for her conversion. And as you travel to Holy Land, can you please carry these intentions for me?
Certainly.
And for my emotional healing as well, because I have been affected by all this addiction from my family. And finally, final request is for my strange husband to be freed from all addictions.
All right. Well,
thank you.
You got it. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to be at Calvary. I'm one of the places I am certainly going to pray a chapel of Divine Mercy, not just for you, Jessica, but for everyone who joins me in this powerful hour. But I will carry your intentions. I'll add them to the list of intentions that have come in. I leave next week for that, so count on prayers coming your way. Right now, we'll pray for you and with you. Father Robert Altier is joining me for this chaplet this afternoon. And Lord, I give you addiction. I know how divisive and how destructive it can be, and I know how evil can use it. And I just ask for freedom and liberty from anyone who is dealing with addiction to drugs, to alcohol, who has sexual proclivities, sexual addictions, compulsions, overeating. But I just ask in a special way that you set free your children today by virtue of this prayer. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Jackie is joining us from Luxembourg, Wisconsin. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling for my sister-in-law. Her brother is in surgery right now. He was taken to the hospital two days ago, and they diagnosed a small brain tumor. They're going in to do a biopsy to see what it is and how to follow up on this. So I'm asking for prayers for him and for their entire family. My sister-in-law and brother, their son is getting married in 45 minutes.
Wow.
So it's been rather traumatic to have all this happen all at once. So just to keep my sister-in-law's brother in his prayers for the best outcome.
No, you got it. Jackie, thank you for calling. We'll lift you up in every one of those intentions you voiced, all those that are in your heart. Lord, I do pray for those who face health issues, these complications, who are enduring surgery. I just pray for good test results. And I just pray for the vanquishing of any tumor, any cancerous cell that might be there. I want to pray for marriage today again, for this marriage that's taking place in 45 minutes. I want to pray for all those discerning this vocation. And Lord, I want to pray for those in troubled marriages, where there's infidelity, where there's violence, where there's abuse, where there's lack of trust, where the relationship has grown cold. And I just ask for your protection as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our final call comes today from California. Hi, Ann. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. My prayer intention is that my teenage daughter, who is on the autism spectrum, high functioning and suffers from depression and anxiety, has expressed that she is supposed to be a boy and not a girl. And so I am one of the many parents that are struggling with the whole transgender agenda being thrusted upon their children. And I just want to ask that you keep my daughter and all the thousands of children and parents who are going through this nightmare.
Yeah, my heart goes out to you. And it really does. I mean, what a special cross you have. We'll pray for your daughter, though, you know. Lord told St. Faustina that people don't know the scope of our Lord's mercy, therefore we don't pray for big enough things. And I know this seems like a monumental thing, but let's pray for her complete healing. All right, let's pray for her, and we'll pray for you. You have the wisdom that you need as a parent. And I want to pray for all those who are going through these difficulties, you know, who are having struggles with their children or with the lifestyles of the children or the choices, or they're having gender identity confusion or whatever the issues might be, Lord. You know them, you know, and I ask for protection against the evil one. I just pray for this mother whose heart is so heavy. And I want to pray for this child that she can feel your loving embrace and there can be a proper orientation, Lord. You create all of us in your image and likeness, and we're so grateful, Lord, for your love. We're so grateful for your mercy. We're so grateful for this opportunity to pray together. I know how deeply you hear these prayers, and I know the graces that are now flowing. So I give to you Mary and Charlie and Madeline and Susan and Aiden and Janet and Elba and everyone that's on hold, all the other calls that are waiting here. And I lift up these souls to you. And all who are praying with me, wherever they are now, and I ask that you hear our prayers. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help.
Pray for us.
Mother of Mercy.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Palestine.
Pray for us.
Virgin most powerful.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint Faustina.
Pray for us.
Saint John Paul II.
Pray for us.
Saint Peregrine.
Pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva.
Pray for us.
All you patron saints of marriage and all of our angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, would you give us your blessing or closing prayer, if you'd be so kind?
Certainly. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks and praise for the mercy that you won for us on the cross and through its outpouring, especially in and through the Holy Eucharist and through this beautiful chaplet. As you will bless all of those who have joined us in this chaplet, their families, and hear all of their petitions, and I beg your mercy to answer them all, and commending all of you to the Immaculate Heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary and the Sacred Heart of Jesus, intercession of Saint Joseph, protection of Saint Michael, the guidance of your guardian angels, intercession of your patron saints, may the blessing of Almighty God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and your families and remain forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey, Father, thank you so much. Stay with me. I'm going to take a short pause. When we come back, Father Altier and I will talk. He just came out with a new book, and I think it's really an important read. I want to encourage you to get it. I personally read it, and my wife and I, we both read it, and we both endorsed it. And my wife actually said to me, she's done reading this book, she says, man, there were some really interesting insights there, stuff that she never thought about or had realized before. And I think you'll like this. You know, I often talk about books that belong in your spiritual library. I just gave Maggie one. Maggie's got one. She's engaged now. She's going to be married coming up. It's very exciting news. God brought a special man into her life. And she saw the book. I'm like, you got to read this. Maggie knows how much I endorsed it. It was a great book. It's an exploration of marriage. And we'll take a look at that. We'll take a look at the attack on it, what Sister Lucia de Santis had to say. And if you're in a troubled marriage, you might want to join us as well. So we'll take your calls and questions too. You can dial in if you want to get into the conversation. 888-914-9149. We're back with more right after this.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime. On Twitter, at Drew Mariani Show.
This hour sponsored by Creative Planning. How is your Catholic faith influencing your financial future? More info, including disclosures, at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus.
It's a beautiful night. We're looking for something dumb to do. Hey, baby.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
This dancing juice. Who cares, baby? I think I want to marry you.
Hey, it's good to be with you today. Thanks for joining me. You know, I came across a book written by Father Robert Altier, and I want to get you plugged into it. And I want to talk about marriage and God's plan for you today. You know, I want to be hopeful. I really do. I say that to you all the time. But I also like to zoom out. I like to take a look at the big picture, right? I like to see where we are right now. And there's so much going on in our world in terms of marriage and the family. It's been going on for years now. And I thought, well, where did it begin, right? Why this demonic attack on marriage? Maybe your marriage right now is going through a difficult time. Maybe it's your son or your daughter. Maybe there's been infidelity. Maybe there's abuse. Maybe it's grown cold, right? Maybe Satan is somehow divided, right? I go back to 1930 when the Anglican Church said that it was okay for married couples to use contraceptives, you know, and to put a kind of chink in the armor surrounding marriage and the family. From there, it was just a matter of time before, I believe, the evil one, you know, would work to break through and try to destroy the family. What did we see after that? You know, fast forward a decade or two, and you have in the 1960s, the pill being discovered. And on the heels of that, no-fault divorce, right? Became very vogue. No-fault divorce in the late 60s, 70s. 1973 was a pivotal moment. In 1973, of course, we saw Roe v. Wade. Thank God that's fallen, right? But then it escalated. We had this culture of death that entered the our society, our life, our world. It escalated from there with sodomy being legalized, marriage being redefined. Now the push is to redefine what it becomes means to be a man or a woman. This is all what we've been talking about throughout the day here. So anyone paying attention to this can get a sense of where we are. There was an interview that Sister Lucio de Santos did. She spoke with Cardinal Carlo Caffara of Bologna. This is back, I think, in 2015. And he talked about a letter which he received from the very famous Fatima seer, Sister Lucia. And in it, this is what Sister Lucia shared with him or wrote. Let me just share it with you very quickly. Sister Lucia said, she said that the final battle between the Lord and the reign of Satan will be about marriage and family. She said, don't be afraid, because anyone who operates for the sanctity of marriage and the family will always be contended and opposed in every way, because this is the decisive issue. And then she gave us a little bit of hope in the very end. I always love this. She goes, however, our Lady has already crushed his head, she said. So, you know, that's where we are today. That's what's happening. I think we are in a spiritual battle. When we take a look at marriage and your marriage in particular, I think that there's no question in my mind that Satan hates marriage. He hates your marriage. And he's going to try to divide it and infiltrate it and destroy it. That's what's happening right now. I'm joined by Father Robert Altier, a priest from the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. He serves as parochial vicar of St. Raphael Parish in Crystal, Minnesota. Was a longtime contributor here on Relevant Radio. And God is now using him in a powerful way. It was put on his heart to address this issue of marriage. I'm thinking, why would Father Altier be writing a book about marriage? Father, it's good to have you with me today. And let me start with that. Maybe give us the backstory, because I know you've been involved in deliverance ministry and a lot of other things. Was it an epiphany? Was it a special moment? Why are you writing a book on God's plan for marriage? What happened?
Is back in February of 2019, I was awakened in the middle of the night one night, and there's nothing like it's ever happened before or since, but I was told, this is what you're to do for couples preparing for marriage. Well, I hadn't even been thinking of such a thing. I've been preparing couples for marriage for 30 years at that point. And so it's like, okay. Then I just rolled over, went back to sleep. The next morning when I got up to pray, I sat down to pray as usual. And all of a sudden, this thought, this beautiful concept about marriage that I've never thought of in my life, was just filled my mind. And I apologized to the Lord. I said, I have to write this down, or I know myself well enough. I'll just sit here and think about this for the rest of the time of prayer. So I wrote it down. No sooner had I put the pen down, and the next idea filled my head. And again, just a jaw-droppingly beautiful concept about marriage that I'd never thought of before.
Wow.
And this went on for the rest of the month, with three exceptions. And otherwise, 28th of February came, and it stopped as quickly as it began. Prayer went back to usual, but by that point, when I typed it all up, I had 16 pages of single-space notes.
Wow.
And I said, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? This is way too much to go over with a couple preparing for marriage. And then the idea came of writing a book, which I kind of laughed at because I have dyslexia. And oh, it's wow. Like, right, you want me to write a book? Well, Our Lady gets what Our Lady wants. And so I wrote a book. This is, I make no bones about it. This is her book. The way I present it to people, it's like if you were in a class and the teacher said, you have to write a paper, here's the general theme, and make sure you touch on these topics within it. Well, they've already given you the outline.
Yeah.
Now all I have to do is set it up and prepare, you know, the context and explanation. So the main ideas in the book are really Our Lady's, and then the rest of it I just put together.
I absolutely love it. I've read it. My wife has read it. I've given it to my producer, Maggie, here. She's begun it, she said, in adoration. I think it's a must-read for a lot of people. And I do think it's anointed. The fact that Our Lady put this on your heart, I didn't know you had dyslexia, so to go ahead and to... given this challenge, and the book is I'm looking at it right now, 180 some pages, maybe 190 pages. It's a great but easy read. I know that Cardinal Burke endorsed it, and a number of other people have as well. What did you mean when you say that this was heaven's response to the crisis in marriage? Because clearly there is a crisis in marriage, unlike anything I've ever seen.
There is. And so as I looked at this and put things together, because there are all kinds of things, as I just mentioned, lots of ideas that I've never thought of in my life, I've never heard about in my life, which is actually why when I wrote it, I asked Cardinal Burke if he would be willing to read it. You know, he was the church's top authority on marriage and canon law, and I wanted to make sure everything, I mean, I was quite certain it was in line with the teaching of the church, but wanted to be certain of that, and so that's why I asked His Eminence, and he was kind enough to read it. But I personally believe that with what's going on in marriage today, you know, marriage has always been very stable. And so the church, you know, certainly had her teaching about marriage, but it's never gone into great depth because it's never been attacked before.
Yep.
And so now it's being attacked, and therefore heaven is going to come to the aid of the area under attack. Consequently, these ideas, because like I said, they're, I think, beautiful, they're new, they're things I've never thought of in my life, and I believe, therefore, this is the Lord providing these ideas, these concepts regarding His idea about marriage. What did God intend with marriage? And this is about the spiritual part of marriage. This isn't about, you know, the other aspects like communication, relations, the physical part of marriage, whatever, but this is the spiritual part that underlies the marriage. That has to be the foundation. So I think this is what the Lord is providing through our Blessed Lady to be able to lay that foundation. You know, when we think about what Scripture talks about, if you're going to build a house, you know, don't build it on the sand, build it on rock, because when the winds come and the winds blow and the floods come, it's going to blow the house down.
That's right.
Well, the floods are coming and the wind is blowing against marriage. We need to make sure that the foundation is rock solid. And I think that's what God is providing in this way, so that people can really understand the dignity of marriage and have that solid spiritual foundation to build upon.
Yeah, I was talking earlier about this whole transgender movement that we're seeing right now, the attack on even gender. We see it on life. You know, we clearly see it on marriage. Why do you think there's such and I'll call it as I see it, I think it's a demonic attack on all of these things, but in
it
particular,
is. It is.
Marriage. Why right now? Why does Satan hate marriage so much? Why would Sister Lucia say this is the final confrontation?
Well, you have to remember, marriage is the foundation for both the church and society. And so if the devil wants to take over, this is what he has to go after. If he can destroy marriage, if he can break the foundation, he can everything else topples. And so this is, in my mind, you know, again, you can look over the church's history and he's attacked, you know, the divinity of Christ and the Trinity and the Eucharist and our Blessed Lady, the priesthood, whatever. But this is the most diabolical attack ever because it is against the foundation. It is against everything, not only for the foundation of the church and society, but for our children. You know, if marriage isn't solid, the children suffer.
Yeah.
And so it's for the future generations. That's what the devil is going after. I point out to people when you look at the politics of the whole thing, but you can see the same thing with the devil. I just always say it's always about the children. It has always been about the children. It will always be about the children. That's what he wants. So if he can destroy marriage, he can destroy the church, he can destroy society, he can destroy the future because he can destroy the children. And that's so it is so diabolical what he's doing, and that's where that diabolical confusion that you're talking about is really coming from.
Yeah, I think you're so on point with that, Father. Not a doubt in my mind. I'll tell you what, let me take a short break here. We're going to come back on the other side. And I'm going to talk more. I'm going to talk about some of the great insights that you have in your book as well. If you want to join us, I've got Father Altier. You can dial in 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Feel free to get in. His book is called God's Plan for Your Marriage. It's available at Sophia Institute Press. Just do a quick search for it, okay? Again, God's Plan for Your Marriage. You can go to the website, godsplanforyourmarriagebook.com. Check it out. I'll be right back.
You know, we receive over 1 million prayer requests every year, thanks in part to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line. helping us stay connected to your intentions. Learn how our sponsor can support your family with life insurance at relevantradio.com/Forrester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining me. If you're just getting plugged in, we're taking a look at marriage. Father Robert Altier joins me. It's been a long time since I've spoken to him. He wrote a book called God's Plan for Your Marriage. Came to him. He said he was inspired one night, woken up, and told to write this book. I read it. I endorsed it. Maggie now has it. And I do think it's a great read. You know, he pointed out to me that fewer than 20% of all marriages today take place in church. How many of your kids have not got married in church? They got married on a beach, they got married somewhere else, outside the sacraments, let's say. That's all part of this attack. I really believe Satan is really confusing this next generation. We've lost perspective on what happens. We've lost the understanding of the grace that comes with the sacrament of holy matrimony. And I think we need to get a better understanding of that and ultimately get it back. You know, there's a chapter in Father's book called What God Has Joined. I absolutely love this, and it is an eye-opening chapter. You know, you might be in the process of divorcing right now. Maybe, you know, you're getting ready to be married, okay? I want to address what happens. And Father, let's pick it up on that point if we could. You dedicate a whole chapter as one of the central themes of your book. Let's talk about spiritually, you know, in the spiritual dynamic, that realm, what happens when one is sacramentally married?
Well, so first we have to recognize that, okay, what's the difference between a natural marriage and a sacramental marriage? Right. Because those are the two options that the church presents. So a natural marriage would be a couple goes to the judge and wants to get married, and they make their promises for life. But now we look at it and say, okay, if you enter a sacrament, this is holy. This tells you, by the way, the dignity of marriage. You know, so many people think marriage is kind of a second or third class way of life. If you can't be a priest or a nun or whatever, well, then I guess you'll just have to be married. That's just nonsense. Marriage is a vocation, and it is a sacrament. And so God has elevated marriage sacramentally. And so that's where the question then that you're getting at comes in, because the question is, what is united? If you look in St. Mark's Gospel and in St. Matthew's Gospel, there's the passage about, you know, can a man divorce his wife for any reason, whatever. And then they talk about what Moses allowed to get a divorce. And Jesus said, this wasn't God's plan from the beginning. And then says, you know, that quoting Genesis, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two become one flesh. And that's where most people end. And that's what they stop to think about. But Jesus added a line, and it is the only place in the entire Bible that this line is mentioned. And it says, what God has joined, let no man put asunder. So now, going back to that question, okay, now it's a sacrament. What happens in the sacrament? The other six sacraments, something actually literally happens to your soul. You know, when you're baptized, original sin is removed from your soul. Sanctifying grace is infused. You become a member of Jesus. You're incorporated into the covenant. You know, and you can look at that with every one of the sacraments. So what actually happens to the souls of the couple who are married? What is it? Because now let me just, before I give you the answer, let me point out to you that assuming that a couple has been chaste before getting married, okay, in the new rite of marriage, the couple makes their vows, and immediately after making the vows, the priest says, what God has joined, let no man put asunder. Now, if that's the case, the bodies have not yet been joined. And so the marriage isn't yet consummated. And yet at the same time, we've already said God has joined something. What is it that God has joined? And my point in this book is what God has joined are the two souls. Yeah. The two become one. And the two souls are united. So there is a new creation. There's a recreation. God created the two souls to be separate. Now he has recreated them to be one. Now, that doesn't mean you become the other person. It's not quite like the Trinity. That's a substantial union. This one's accidental, is what it'd be called philosophically. But So in other words, you don't become the other person, but nonetheless, you are united with that person, spiritually united. And everything else flows in marriage from that union of souls. That's why the spiritual element of marriage has to be in place in order for everything else to work the way that that we want it to. And so if a couple can understand that, just the beauty of what God does, he works what is essentially a miracle on the day that you get married, and he puts your souls together. So it is the man, the woman, and God. You cannot do this yourself. You no matter how hard you try, you cannot put your souls together. Only God can. And in a sacramental marriage, you're asking God to be the center of your marriage. Yeah. You're asking him to work a miracle, to put the two of you together and to remain at the center of your marriage. And that's where he is, but he will never force himself on you. You have to open your heart to receive the grace that he wants to give you. And it's all right there for you. That's again, the beauty of the sacrament. Yeah. So anyway,
I love it. This is one of my favorite parts of the book, Father, to be honest with you, because I tell my wife, I tell Kathy this all the time, you know, and she prays or when I go to mass or whatever it is. I mean, we're really one and we're benefiting and blessing one another, aren't we? I think you pointed that out to me. You know, when one spouse goes to mass, even if the other doesn't, both spouses benefit, correct?
Absolutely. Again, because there's a spiritual union. So if one does something which is beneficial spiritually, the other is going to be lifted up by that. You know, same thing happens negatively. If one sins, the other's pulled down. The other one didn't sin, but you're going to be affected by it. You're going to be pulled down by the sin because you're united together. So if marriage is about making one another saints, helping one another become saints, then we want to do everything we can to build one another up. And some of that is just from building your own spiritual life up, and that's going to affect the other one intrinsically.
Yeah, it's so true. I think of couples right now that are divorcing and maybe in other relationships or remarrying. I don't think there's a lot of people when they enter the sacrament understand the gravity of that. What happens to that soul, the marriage that where the two have become one, they're now divorced, mm-hmm. and one of the spouses is now with someone else?
Well, what happens, you have to make a distinction. If there is an annulment that is given, so an annulment would say that there was something so seriously wrong at the moment that the vows were made that the sacrament was invalid. The sacrament never occurred. The two souls were never actually united. And if that's the case, then the person is free to marry somebody else and actually have their soul united to someone else. But if they're not, and this is why Jesus said that anyone who marries a divorced person, if they're not annulled, it commits adultery, because that soul is united to another person. Mm. And now you're trying to join to someone else, but you can't because God made the two to be one. Yep. There's not a room for a third one in there. And so it's, again, the one spouse trying to live, assuming that this other one is trying to live according to their vows. You know, this is how part of how they're going to become a saint. It's a huge, huge cross put upon their shoulders. But this is how they're going to grow in holiness. And living that, they're trying then to build up the other person, to pull the other person up to get them out of an illicit relationship. Yep. The other one, of course, if they're doing things that are not good, are pulling against the other spouse. And so a bit of a tug of war, but that's, again, if we're looking at trying to become saints, a lot of that is just having to go against the current. Yep. And if we can keep our focus on the Lord, keep our hearts open to his grace, then, as we were talking about, even with the Chaplet of Mercy, God can and will work miracles if we allow him to work in our lives.
Amen to that. Father, I only have about a minute and a half, 2 minutes left, and I don't know if we'll have a chance to take calls, but I do want to talk about the book. If people want to get God's plan for your marriage, what's the best way to do that? How can they get this? I do personally think this is a must-read for anyone who has been married, whether you're entering marriage like Maggie is, or whether you've been married for 30-plus years. This is a book for you to read. How do people get connected?
Well, they could get it through Sophia, or they can go to God's Plan for Your Marriage book com. If you do that, we will include a free holy card of St. Raphael. And St. Raphael, by the way, and the angels, the angels are, if you read the book of Revelation, the angels are on every page. And, we look at what's going on right now. We need the angels. They're given us by God. St. Raphael is the angel about love and about marriage. And so call on him, St. Michael, of course, to protect and so on. But call on St. Raphael to help you in your relationship, in your marriage. And so there's a prayer card of St. Raphael if you go to godsplanforyourmarriagebook.com.
All right. Well, Father, I want to thank you for being with me. It is always a pleasure to hear your voice and to be on. I'd ask you to pray for us, pray for marriages, and congratulations on the book. Hopefully we can talk again about this. The book is called God's Plan for Your Marriage by Father Robert Altier. That's Altier. Do a quick search for it. You can go to Sophia Institute Press, or as they pointed out, you can simply go to God's Plan for Your Marriage Book. God's Plan for Your Marriage Book.com. You'll also get a St. Raphael card there as well. So, Father, God bless you. Thank you for being here.